Matt Flynn Direct is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
And welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct, Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, and WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Caw-caw! And without any further delay, I'm going to bring on my guest for the hour, Matt Rothschild. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, did you hear that I took a picture? Did you see that I took a picture of a robin out in Monona yesterday sitting on a crabapple tree?
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, that gives us hope. That and the 40-degree weather yesterday gives us some hope that maybe this dark winter is going to end at some point. Or maybe the politics will turn up, too.
Or maybe we'll have a frozen robin come the weekend. Like, maybe Robin Voss. You got anything on him today, or how do you want to start today? I was just reading about him.
You know, it's funny. I was reading Melanie Conklin's article about Voss over at the Wisconsin Examiner, and she was just saying basically what we've been saying here on Devil Radio for a while, that, you know, Voss has created, and Trump has created, of course, but this Frankenstein's monster, and Voss can't control it anymore. You know, they're right, people even further to the right, if you can believe that, than Robin Voss in his caucus and at the base here in Wisconsin. And they've kind of boxed him in. I mean, there are people in his caucus who want him to go. There are people at the base who want him to go. I mean, Sheriff David Clark, who came to Madison for a couple Friday rallies in the fall, was leading chants of Robin Voss has got to go, which is something I think we would all welcome. But I'm going to make a prediction here for you, Mike, that Voss is going to retire sometime after November, that this is going to be his last term in office. He's fed up. He's had enough. You know, he isn't run for governor, and I think he's just going to check out. Because, if you want to be answering to Donald Trump all day long and Janelle Bowenton and Tim Lyman all day long, who'd want that job? So, you know, he's created something he's responsible for. He owns it. He owns Gableman. Gableman now owns him, though. That's the weird thing, because he can't get rid of Gableman, because there'd be all this screaming and yelling from Trump and from the right-wingers, far-right crazies. The WAC caucus, as I call it, in the legislature will be calling for his head if he gets rid of Gableman. So Robin Voss made his bed. He's got to sleep in it now.
He's had enough. That's funny. But I do see that, you know, they're still going to go forward with, you know, taking more control, more local control away from the citizens of Wisconsin. You know, he and, Devin LeMahieu. That's just nepotism, folks. His dad was there before him, if you didn't know that. And the corruption.
Yeah, Robin Voss is
go ahead.
I mean, LeMahieu is just kind of, well, LeMahieu is Voss's little brother. I mean, he does whatever Voss says. You know, it's just kind of a joke in there, because Voss is running the entire legislature, and people know that. But look, you mentioned local control. I mean, my predecessor at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Mike McCabe, had a good line about this. He said, you know, Republicans used to be the party of local control. They turned into the party of we control the locals.
Yes.
You know, they've passed more than 180 laws that take power away from local communities to govern their own affairs.
The funniest part about Voss and this breakup within the Republican Party in Wisconsin is he's done more damage to this state than anybody else could have, you know, that they want, that they support. It's just that he's not Trumpy enough. Well, that's what Trump did to the Republican Party. He took down the curtain, man. And if you're not part of it now, you're on the outs with the voters. I'm more scared of the voters now at this point than I am of these legislators. I've seen what they can do. But this angry mob stuff is coming to a head, I'm afraid.
Right, and you know, and it's about 25% of the voting public. I mean, I'm scared of those folks too. You were mentioning in the last half hour, you know, they're coming, you know, all the way down ticket to the school boards and the local city councils. I mean, if we haven't learned anything over the last 10 years here in Wisconsin after the Walker counter-revolution, it's that, you know, voting in local elections is really important. Running in local elections is really important. And now these, the Trumpites are doing that under Steve Bannon's instruction. They're running for every local office, including election administration offices in the country, state by state. So, you know, that's the plan. Take over the state at the local level. And you're right about Voss. I mean, he has been the most willing water boy for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, American Federation for Children. That's Betsy DeVos's Let's Ruin the Public Schools group. And the Koch brothers, American Federation, Americans for Prosperity. You know, they couldn't have asked for a better water boy than Robin Voss. And he, you know, walked the line on the social conservative issues. But you're right. He just has not been Trumpian enough for the crazy Trump base. And now they're going to, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they started putting up a scaffold at the Capitol here in Madison and say, you know, hang Robin Voss.
Right. Well, we didn't suggest that, did we? but it's weird, yeah, watching all this stuff. And it doesn't help the Democratic Party at all. That's the worst part. I don't see it helping at all. I do see it helping that, you know, Janet Buley's stepping down and says she's moving over for a new generation of progressives. Yeah, we could have used an older generation of progressives that whole time. But, hey.
You know, she's a nice woman.
Yes.
She's a decent person. She was the Democratic Senate Minority Leader. But, you know, when she voted for that budget, the Republican budget, I just couldn't believe it. And I just wondered, you know, this is the leader of the opposition party voting for this Republican budget that is regressive in its tax policy and regressive in so many other ways. I just had to shake my head there. That's not leadership of the opposition party. So I wish her well in retirement. And we do need stronger leaders in the legislature. And there is a new generation of leaders coming up there that I think will give us the stronger leadership we need.
Yeah, what we really need in this state is Native American leadership in our Assembly and Senate, and maybe even as a governor someday. That's where I want to push this. I'm so sick of white people being offended and upset that, you know, we're not going to have another white person put on the law of the land, you know. Doesn't it just disgust you to watch people and listen to the Ted Cruz's, you know, talk about how he's offended that it can't be another white guy?
I mean, it is just so hypocritical because there's been, you know, so many white guys. It was an exclusive white male club for the longest time until Sandra Day O'Connor, for God's sakes, in modern times. And so, yeah, I mean, this just hits the nerve of so aggrieved white male in this country that, you know, their power and status and privilege is being taken away. That's what this is about.
114 out of 120 justices are white men.
That's not a bad batting average.
Who was the first one then? Thurgood Marshall? Was he the first one to break the barrier? I think he was.
Thurgood Marshall was the first
non-white guy. So what was that? You know, over 100 guys, or probably, yeah, close to 100 justices appointed as all white men, because that really represents the population well. Wow. I mean, this is just harder and harder for me to take each hour. I can't turn on the TV anymore. I know that the people on the right like to think that I'm somehow sitting watching MSNBC, which I haven't. To be honest, Matt, I have not turned that channel on in probably, I don't know, 6 months? I mean, I will turn on CNN.
You know, I think it's healthy to turn the TV off, especially the cable TV news, and not consume all the high volume that's screaming at us every hour, every minute on cable news, whatever station you're watching, though. It makes your blood pressure go up needlessly. You can get the news online, even at their own websites, with much less high volume. And, you know, every story is a breaking story. Every story is, you know, at the same level of volume. And it gives me a headache. So I stopped watching it a long time ago myself.
Well, it's either, you know, they're really happy about something that none of us is really paying attention to, or they ignore all the things. I can't stand watching, even CNN. I watch it because I want to know what's going on in the news, and they'll have Republicans or Democrats come on there and say stupid stuff, so why not? But I can't stand listening to how good their life is. You notice when they get to a feel-good story, everything's good, and then they try to feel bad like the rest of us over a story, but they aren't doing anything to help us. Nothing. There's all this stuff that we talk about, our far left, is as close to reality as you're ever going to get, people. And listening to that stuff and taking it, verbatim, and then repeating it, I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know how long I'm going to last at this point. I'm actually at the point where I'm ready to leave America. I'm staying here for as long as my mom needs me here, right? She probably doesn't even need me here. But I just...
I heard you, Mike. I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I heard you talking about that in the last half hour, and I hope your mom does live to be in her 90s. But I think what you're feeling is what so many people are feeling here in Wisconsin and around the country. I know here in Wisconsin, if Walker had beaten Evers the last time around, I know a lot of young, great progressive activists were ready to move to another state. I mean, it was going to be four more years of Scott Walker. They were going to find a better place, a more progressive place to live. But fortunately, they're staying here and fighting, and that gives me hope, too. But I do understand this feeling of, wow, I've got only X amount of time left, or I've got my whole career ahead of me. Where do I want to be? What state do I want to be? What country do I want to be? Certainly in this period, and let's recognize the period we're in. We're in a period of real counter-revolution here. There is a militant anti-democracy movement led by Trump, of course, in this country, the likes of which we haven't seen since there were 20,000 Nazis rallying in Madison Square Garden in 1939 under swastika flag. That's where we're at right now. And we need to get through this period, but it's going to be a rough sledding. And I understand folks who, don't want to be sledding down that hill super fast and hitting the tree.
We'll be back and talk about this some more. Thanks, man. Look at me now, what you see. It's what you get. It's what you get. What you see, it's what you get. It's what you get.